Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus commissions his disciples with a worldwide missionary assignment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Evangelism was the final instruction from Jesus to his followers. Today, generations later, the Great Commission remains the greatest calling of Christians to a lost world. Welcome to Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission, presented by Galcom International. On today's Mission Compass, we invite you to engage with us in fulfilling the Great Commission as we talk with mission workers about what God is doing through them as they share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
Hello, friend. And thank you for joining us on today's Mission Compass, presented by Galcom International. I'm Ron Harris. You know, Galcom exists to give tools to missionaries and pastors who have answered the call of Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel. By using solar-powered radios and audio Bibles built right here at Galcom International, we are able to multiply their impact and reach more people with the gospel. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's Mission Compass with our program host, Tim Whitehead. Tim, I know you have a special guest who's with us today.
Well, thank you, Ron. It's always great to get introduced to new ministries. And everything we do at Galcom is in partnership. And so we're always looking for wonderful impactful mission agencies that are doing great work, not necessarily in radio, not necessarily how we do it, because there are so many ways to serve God. And that's the purpose of our program here at the Mission Compass, to help you find your spot where you need to serve God. And so we've got a great guest from Life Song for Orphans, Gary Ringer, orphan advocate and founder of the ministry. Gary, great to have you with us here on the Mission Compass.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So Gary, give us the elevator speech for Life Song. What is it all about? What do you do?
Life Song does two primary things. We help adoptions here in the United States. At this point, we've helped about 10,000 families bring home children from all around the world. We're not an agency, but we help them fundraise for it because the cost is such a big part of this. And the second aspect of what Life Song does is we work with orphan and vulnerable children care systems around the world. We're in 14 countries. And I would say with that, we have a unique focus, if you will, on business. It's part of our DNA because we're working with kids. I'll use Zambia as an example, that are going to be graduating into a country that's 70 to 80% unemployed. So it's a challenging thing to work. Our prayer that we do every week together basically says three things. One, Lord, you said the fields are white with harvest, and you said, pray for more laborers. So we're praying for more laborers to connect us with them. We can't do it all. Two, guide us how to support them and take away hurdles. And three, most of all, we pray for the kids we serve that there'll be a ripple effect that's greater than we can ask or imagine.
Amen. Amen. Our motto here at Galcom is making waves, because we're doing, you know, radio waves, sound waves, but that ripple effect. You change one life, you change a family, you change a community, that investment. On your website here, lifesong.org, a statistic kind of slapped me in the face. 153 million orphans in the world?
Right. Yeah. And who knows exactly what that number is, but what I would say is that the number of vulnerable children, and if I will call social orphans, is many times that. It's a God-sized problem, but it's a God-sized opportunity.
Amen. I've not heard that term before, social orphan. Can you just define that for us?
Yeah, by that I mean many of the children, let's say in Africa, they maybe don't have their parents, but they have grandparents that are taking good care of them, in some cases better than a child that has his parents, but the parents aren't taking care of them. So a social orphan, in our view, is someone, a child that is not getting adequate care that leads him down the right path.
Okay. So two big things. You're bringing orphans then from around the world to people in the U.S., helping them adopt, getting them, changing their lives. And then you're reaching back out across the pond, so to speak, and partnering with agencies and groups that have homes for children. What makes a successful partnership for you overseas? What are you looking for? What makes something a life song project or home?
Yeah, what we're trying to do is really zero in. I, by nature, am entrepreneurial, so I like to try a lot of things. But at this point in my life, I'm really seeing the benefit of a franchise, if you will. I think of Chick-fil-A a lot these days, how they started out with one restaurant, and now how many restaurants do they did? I went on their website. I don't know if this is true, but I looked at the number of restaurants they have, and I calculated, and this could be way off, but I calculated they're serving somewhere around 1.4 billion meals a year. Now, how did they do that? They do that by getting a system and then just start repeating it. So by nature, early on, we were doing all kinds of things. We serve people from the back office. We help people here in the U.S. that are involved with the project, but maybe don't have the ability to have their own 501c or collect the funds or do the accounting. We do those services for about 20 different ministries.
Wow.
But what we're starting to serve now and focus on is what I call ESS system, which stands for a successful operation is this, that there's a school involved that takes the kids from, you know, kindergarten to grade 12, for instance, if you use the U.S. system. And in that system, we want to, first of all, we made a four-part pledge originally. When we first started in Ukraine, we were strictly doing adoptions in the U.S. This was just a couple years into the journey. And somebody asked us to take a ministry over in Ukraine. And originally, it had been more of getting blankets and things like that to the children in orphanages. And we didn't want to just be given blankets. We wanted to, as much as possible, adoption was at our heart, as much as possible, we wanted to give the children a home-like situation, even though we knew it wasn't totally possible. We developed a pledge that I always like to say very clearly that this is what we're working towards. And these are things that in a Christian home happen. Are you married? Do you have kids?
Five kids.
So you can tell me if these are four things that you want for your children. The first thing is we want to disciple them in Christ. That's the most important.
Agreed.
Second thing is we want to care for their needs, their physical needs. If they're starving, they can't really be discipled well. So we take care of their physical need. That's the second goal. The third pledge, I should call it, the third pledge is that we give them a good education. And historically, we've been thinking grades K through 12. And then the fourth pledge is they age out and go into adult living. We still want to love and care for them as they move forward. My baby now is 38 years old, and I'm still concerned about my baby. I have three girls and 15 grandkids, I might say. So that is our goal as far as what looks successful. Are we really doing that? Well, what happened to me about 2 years ago is two things kind of at once. First of all, it was in the year of COVID. We moved to a new office, and I was reminded of my dad I quote my dad a lot. He was a wonderful mentor and a friend and discipler to me. But he was a business guy, too. And he said, every once in a while, you have to look at your business like you've never seen it before. And the year of COVID, for many reasons, was a good year for me to reflect on that. What I reflected on is I felt like we were doing fairly well on the three pledges. But the fourth pledge, I felt like we're talking about it, but we're not really in a position to fulfill it. And I also felt the need. You've probably heard necessity is the mother of invention. And what was happening in Zambia is we had been graduating 25 kids a year from one school. And in a second school, there was going to be 50 coming out. That comes out the end of this year. That is, so all of a sudden, 75 kids were transitioning into adult. And I felt like we didn't really have a good plan. So that started me on a journey, and what it's led to is what I referred to before is called ESS. Is first, if we want to empower African-led K through 12 schools. So we help them and we give them guidelines. We let them run it, but we also set up some standards. Two is then, like here in the U.S. or in Canada, I'm from a little town of 1,400 people, and we have a good high school. Our high school teachers aren't figuring what they're going to learn, you know, whatever they do. Finally, that that these kids, for the most part, go on to junior college or college. And so we decided that we were going to do is we were going to have a what we call Lifelong Academy. And we were going to support, we were empower the smaller schools through K through 12. Then we were going to support that effort with, if you will, a Lifelong Academy, we're calling that is three things. One is, let's say, college. We've got a wonderful partner that has been doing a university that's a 4 to 5 year degree in Zambia. It's just a God thing how we met them. Two, we're going to have a vo-tech school. And three, we're going to have entrepreneurship training and guide them because a lot of people in Zambia make their own living by their own business. So it'll be kind of a three-part school. All of our kids will come there. There'll be daily chapel. There could be in time as many as 20 schools are feeding into this Lifelong Academy, and they'll be there from 1 to 5 years. And then the final S is we sustain that with creating businesses, employing all the kids by any means. But these are businesses that provide leadership opportunity for our kids, and they make money. So our dream is in 10 years that all of this, what I call ESS system, the middle part that we're paying for these smaller schools that are the K through 12 will be totally funded by our Lifelong businesses in Zambia. Time will tell if we reach that goal, but we're making progress. So that's our dream.
There's a reason why you're talking more business than mission. And we're going to get to your story. We're going to take a quick break. Our friends at Guidelines are going to share from God's word. We're going to be right back with Gary Ringer, orphan advocate from Lifelong for Orphans, right after this.
Prayer is an amazing thing. It's amazing that we can simply talk to God and He listens and answers. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. Think back to the last time you prayed about something. Did you see an answer to your prayer? Sometimes we get discouraged in prayer because as far as we can see, nothing happened in answer. Charles Spurgeon pointed out that sometimes we're praying what might be called greyhound prayers. Spurgeon once told about watching a greyhound chasing a hare. The moment the hare ran through the hedge out of the greyhound's sight, the race was over because greyhounds hunt by sight and the hare was hidden in the hedge. There are some Christians too much like the greyhound, Spurgeon said. They only follow the Lord as they can see His manifest mercy. But the true child of God hunts by faith. You say you have no answers? How do you know? God may have answered you, though you have not seen the answer. It's hard to pray when we're limited by our own minds. That's why God gave the Holy Spirit to help us in prayer. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, says the Bible book of Romans 8. For example, it says, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. The Holy Spirit can help us avoid praying greyhound prayers, which only lead to discouragement. Let's pray with His help in faith. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To hear this again, read or share this, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Welcome back to the Mission Compass. I'm your host, Tim Whitehead. With Gary Ringer, orphan advocate, founder of Lifelong for Orphans, we've been talking about a great evaluation and a great strategic way of getting kids from vulnerable to fed, discipled, schooled, and then launched as adults. And we're talking about entrepreneurship and post-secondary education. Wonderful stuff. Gary, you approach ministry a little different than I think most missionaries we talk to here on the Mission Compass. You didn't grow up, you know, as a kid saying, oh, God's got on my life to go overseas as a missionary. Tell us your story, how you went from business to mission.
Yeah, so I was a scared kid coming out of college, not knowing what to do. So I worked for my dear father, who had a small feed business, pig feed business, here in the midst of Illinois. And as I worked for him, he bought and sold feed. But he introduced me to a guy who was a nutritionist, and that nutritionist taught me how to make the feed instead of buy the feed. And when we did that, our costs went down so much that in general, our margin doubled, number one, and we still sold it to the farmer for less than before. So that was a great combination, and the business started to grow. And by the time I was in my early 30s, I was transformed, if you will, from a scared kid to a guy who thought he was really some quite the businessman. And at that point, I visited a Kraft cheese plant, and I walked from room to room, and I saw all the processes, and I thought, wow, this is so much bigger than any feed business I've ever seen. So I decided I was going to try to look around and see what type of food business we could get into. And ultimately, we got into blending donut sugar. We were blending feed, so we figured, well, we could blend donut sugar. So we started that. We did open a new plant for that, so they were separate. But as we started that, I was dreaming big. I told my dear wife at that point, we're going to get rich, babe. And by the time we're 40, we're going to live the American dream. I'm going to retire and live the American dream. So that was my goal. As we got into it, within the first year or two, we were losing money. And I started realizing from heart set, I mean, I knew it in my head before, but I started realizing in my gut, we were making food and I don't know what I'm doing. And God forbid, we're going to kill somebody. If we mess up a batch of pig feed, we might make a pig sick. But what happens if we kill somebody? I mean, right around 1, 2 in every morning, I'd wake up in a cold sweat. I'd lay there thinking all kinds of dark thoughts, like I just explained. And that happened night after night for, I'm guessing, 4 to 5 months.
Wow.
And because of that, then I became sleep deprived. And then when you're sleep deprived, then depression and desperation hit. And in that time, as I went from, hey, we're going to retire and get rich, I went from just wanting out. I just wanted to quit. I cried a lot. I had thoughts of suicide. I was never close to committing suicide because of my fear of God, but I was a mess. It really taught me the difference between being healthy mentally and being a mess, because I was a mess. That was God breaking me. And I just started, you know, in the middle, I wanted to quit, but I'm crying out to my Father, what do I do? And I couldn't get a peace about quitting. So what he laid up my heart was to have a different paradigm in business and think in terms of being a steward. You know, a steward doesn't just get rich and give a little bit away. A steward is working for the master. And so it led to an unusual thing. I wrote a contract on a piece of paper. It was handwritten. And it basically said, Father, if you bless this business, and I like to tell people I did it with a food business that had no value. The feed business that had value, I didn't make this deal with the Father. I made the deal with the business that had no value. But I said, if you bless Ringer Foods and we ultimately sell it, we will pay ourselves back what we invested and we'll get 8% a year on interest for anything over and above that will be used for ministry purpose. That was basically the contract. Me and Dad both signed it. We were 50-50 owners. We were 50-50 owners of the feed business at that point, too. And that gave me courage to go on. But the other cool thing that happened during that time is it really led to a deeper relationship with the Lord. What was so cool and life-changing is before then, prayer had been a discipline. I mean, I was a converted person. I was a believer. But prayer was more of a daily discipline. I'd pray for 5-10 minutes. I had to be real focused. And, you know, it was that type of thing. What happened now is I've got this tangible partnership with the Father. Before I prayed, oh, dear Lord, help Ringer Foods because I want to get rich and retire at 40. Now I had a tangible partnership with him in my mind. I got into a pattern of the Lord's Prayer. I'd read some essays of early Christians right after Christ that I noticed the way they prayed. They really took the Lord's Prayer literally. So I got into this pattern of, you know, I'm waking up first thing in the morning. Everything looks overwhelming. The business is still losing money. I don't know what I'm doing. I get outside, thankfully, I live out in nature. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I think about who he was. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I mean, and then it's like, I know who God is. And I would go through his attributes of how he's almighty, he's all powerful. I still do this today. I did this morning. Then I think about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not, I don't know what I'm doing. It's your will. Give us today our daily bread. Then I started making prayer lists. What do I do about this and that? And specifically things with family, but also with my mission, the business now, how God was going to use that. And then I would just walk through the Lord's Prayer and sit there. And typically that 5-minute discipline went from a discipline to a roughly a 45 minutes to an hour each day. And it became my favorite part of my day. So that was a life changer. So that's what happened. And then over time, gradually, I started experiencing him. We still made a lot of mistakes. A lot of times when God saved the business, when it was about ready to go under, but it's been a wonderful journey. And then in 2002, we sold it. And then we had this contract. What are we going to do with this money? We started a daily prayer. Where do we go? And we remembered a time when we helped a young couple in our church. They needed money to do an adoption. We had done that probably 5-8 years before. The Bible convicted us about the orphan, pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless. And so then that led step by step to LifeSong.
Wow.
So there you have it.
We've got like 2 minutes left. You mentioned that Ukraine was the first place that you worked in. Obviously, Ukraine is on all of our hearts and minds. It's in the news every day. But in just 2 minutes, tell us how we can help what LifeSong is doing in Ukraine right now.
Yeah, what LifeSong is doing in Ukraine right now has been amazing. I'm really proud of our team. We have 3 places. One is in Kharkiv, which is on the news. One is close to Kyiv, and one is down by Zap area. It's really disrupted us. But we've moved a lot of people over to Western Ukraine. So we're starting a new sale. So far, they're all going. But what it actually has done is opened up a new opportunity to do what we do in Eastern Ukraine over on the Western side. And we've also have helped a lot of people get to Warsaw. So we're helping people start reintegrate and care for families there too. So I would just say, pray for us, pray that our team has courage, pray that our team knows what to do. It's unusual times, and pray for the people of Ukraine. And if on our website, there's a lot of information about it. And if people feel led to give, we'll do our best to put it to good use.
LifeSong.org for our US listeners, LifeSongCanada.org for people up here in where I am in Canada. But here's one thing. Here at Galcom, we acknowledge God is the provider of everything we have. Gary, it sounds like you've been through that. You made that contract with God. You turned it over to him. You went into partnership with God. Same thing for us here at Galcom. God is our director. He's our provider. And we acknowledge all the gifts that come in, all the resources that come in, ultimately come from God. And we are to be stewards. And we often brag. The only thing we brag about here is our percentage of what goes to giving and what stays kind of admin and maintenance, all that kind of stuff. Friends, if you want to give somewhere where 100% of your gift goes to mission, LifeSong.org. They have a partnership with a foundation that covers their admin costs. So when you give to LifeSong, 100% is going to help a child, a vulnerable child in need, whether it's getting them into adoption, into a safe place in the US, helping them in a facility somewhere around the 14 countries they're working. Gary, love what you're doing. Can't wait to be partnering with you specifically down there in Kitwe, Zambia. We want to get part of that vocational school. Thank you for sharing your story. Again, LifeSong.org, LifeSongCanada.org. God bless you, Gary.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
Well, friends, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission, presented by Galcom International. You know, there are many ways you can partner with us at Galcom in reaching the lost for Christ. You can pray for us. You can volunteer. You can join us on a mission trip. You can help us financially to build more solar-powered radios and audio Bibles and deliver them to people in remote villages around the world. You could even sponsor an entire village with its own Christian radio station. Ask God how He would want you to partner with us. It's easy to reach us. Our website is galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.